First Presidency Message, A Little Child Shall Lead Them, by President Thomas S. Monson, First Counselor in the First Presidency. During the Galilean ministry of our Lord and Savior, the disciples came unto him, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso will offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. The Many Faces of Child Abuse. Some time ago, as I read the daily newspaper, my thoughts turned to this passage and the firm candor of the Savior's declaration. In one column of the newspaper, I read of a custody battle between the mother and father of a child. Accusations were made, threats hurled, and anger displayed as parents moved here and there on the international scene, with the child spirited away from one continent to another. A second story told of a 12-year-old lad who was beaten and set on fire because he refused a neighborhood bully's order to take drugs. Still a third report told of a father's sexual molestation of his small child. A physician once revealed to me the large number of abused children who are being brought to the emergency rooms of local hospitals in your city and mine. In many cases, guilty parents provide fanciful accounts of the child falling from his high chair or stumbling over a toy and striking his head. Altogether, too frequently, it is discovered that the parent was the abuser and the innocent child the victim. Shame on the perpetrators of such vile deeds. God will hold such strictly accountable for their actions. Children are precious to the Lord. When we realize just how precious children are, we will not find it difficult to follow the pattern of the Master in our association with them. Not long ago, a sweet scene took place at the Salt Lake Temple. Children who had been ever so tenderly cared for by faithful workers in the temple nursery were now leaving in the arms of their mothers and fathers. One child turned to the lovely woman who had been so kind to the children and with a wave of her arm spoke the feelings of her heart as she exclaimed, Good night, angels. The poet described a child so recently with its heavenly father as a sweet new blossom of humanity, fresh fallen from God's own home to flower on earth. Who among us has not praised God and marveled at his powers when an infant is held in one's arms? That tiny hand, so small yet so perfect, instantly becomes the topic of conversation. No one can resist placing his little finger in the clutching hand of an infant. A smile comes to the lips, a certain glow to the eyes, and one appreciates the tender feelings which prompted the poet to pen the lines, Our birth is but a sleep and a forgetting. The soul that rises with us, our life star, hath had elsewhere its setting and cometh from afar. Not in entire forgetfulness and not in utter nakedness, but trailing clouds of glory do we come from God who is our home. When the disciples of Jesus attempted to restrain the children from approaching him, he declared, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark chapter 10, verses 14 through 16. What a magnificent pattern for us to follow. We can bless the lives of children. Several years ago, my heart burned warmly within me when the First Presidency approved the allocation of a substantial sum from some special fast-offering contributions to join with those funds from Rotary International that polio vaccine might be provided and the children living in Kenya immunized against the vicious crippler and killer of children. I thank God for the work of our doctors who leave for a time their own private practices and journey to distant lands to minister to children. Cleft palates and other deformities which would leave a child impaired physically and damaged psychologically are skillfully repaired. Despair yields to hope. Gratitude replaces grief. These children can now look in the mirror and marvel at a miracle in their own lives. In a meeting, I once told of a dentist in my ward who each year visited the Philippine Islands to work his skills, without compensation, to provide corrective dentistry for children. Smiles were restored, spirits lifted, and futures enhanced. I did not know that the daughter of this dentist was in the congregation to which I was speaking. At the conclusion of my remarks, she came forward and with a broad smile of proper pride said, "You have been speaking of my father, how I love him, and what he is doing for children." In the faraway islands of the Pacific, hundreds who were near blind now see, because a missionary said to his physician brother-in-law, "Leave your wealthy clientele and the comforts of your palatial home and come to these special children of God who need your skills and need them now." The ophthalmologist responded without a backward glance. He has commented quietly that this visit was the best service he ever rendered, and the peace which came to his heart the greatest blessing of his life. Tears came easily to me when I read of a father who donated one of his own kidneys in the hope that his son might have a more abundant life. I have dropped to my knees at night and have added my prayer of faith in behalf of a mother in my community who journeyed to Chicago that she might provide part of her liver to her daughter in a delicate and potentially life-threatening surgery. She, who already had gone down into the valley of the shadow of death to bring forth this child into mortality, again put her hand in the hand of God and placed her own life in jeopardy for her child. Never a complaint, but ever a willing heart and a prayer of faith. Elder Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles once shared this pitiable plight of many orphan children in Romania, perhaps 30,000 in the city of Bucharest alone. He visited one such orphanage and arranged that the church might provide vaccine, medical dressings, and other urgently needed supplies. Certain couples were identified and called to fill special missions to these children. I can think of no more Christ-like service than to hold a motherless child in one's arms or to take a fatherless boy by the hand. We need not be called to missionary service, however, in order to bless the lives of children. Our opportunities are limitless. They are everywhere to be found, sometimes very close to home. How children bless our lives. Several years ago, I received a letter from a woman who had emerged from a long period of church inactivity. She was ever so anxious for her husband, who as yet was not a member of the church, to share the joy she felt. She wrote of a trip which she, her husband, and her three sons made from the family home to grandmother's home in Idaho. While driving through Salt Lake City, they were attracted by the message which appeared on a billboard. The message invited them to visit Temple Square. Bob, the non-member husband, made the suggestion that a visit would be pleasant. The family entered the visitor center, and father took two sons up a ramp that one called the Ramp to Heaven. Mother and three-year-old Tyler were a bit behind the others, they having paused to appreciate the beautiful paintings which adorned the walls. As they walked toward the magnificent sculpture of Thorvaldsen's Christus, tiny Tyler bolted from his mother and ran to the base of the Christus while exclaiming, "It's Jesus! It's Jesus!" As mother attempted to restrain her son, Tyler looked back toward her and his father and said, "Don't worry, he likes children." After departing the center and again making their way along the freeway toward grandmother's, Dad asked Tyler what he liked best about their adventure on Temple Square. Tyler smiled up at him and said, "Jesus." "How do you know that Jesus likes you, Tyler?" Tyler, with a most serious expression on his face, looked up at his father's eyes and answered, "Dad, didn't you see his face?" Nothing else needed to be said. As I read this account, I thought of the statement from the book of Isaiah, "And a little child shall lead them." Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. The words of a primary hymn express the feelings of a child's heart. "Tell me the story of Jesus I love to hear, things I would ask him to tell me if he were here, scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me. Oh, let me hear how the children stood round his knee. I shall imagine his blessings resting on me. Words full of kindness, deeds full of grace, all in the love light of Jesus' face." blessing the Nephite children. I know of no more touching passage in Scripture than the account of the Savior blessing the children as recorded in 3 Nephi. The Master spoke movingly to the vast multitude of men, women, and children. Then, responding to their faith and the desire that he tarry longer, he invited them to bring to him their lame, their blind, and their sick, that he might heal them. With joy they accepted his invitation. The record reveals that he did heal them every one. 3 Nephi chapter 17, verse 9. There followed his mighty prayer to his Father. The multitude bore record. The eye hath never seen, neither hath the ear heard before, so great and marvelous things as we saw and heard Jesus speak unto the Father. 3 Nephi chapter 17, verse 16. Concluding this magnificent event, Jesus wept, and he took their little children one by one and blessed them and prayed unto the Father for them. And he spake unto the multitude and said unto them, Behold your little ones. And as they looked to behold, they cast their eyes towards heaven, and they saw the heavens open, and they saw angels descending out of heaven, and they came down and encircled those little ones, and the angels did minister unto them. 3 Nephi, chapter 17, verses 21 and 23 and 24. Over and over in my mind I pondered the phrase, Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Mark chapter 10, verse 15. Thomas Michael Wilson. One who fulfilled in his life this admonition of the Savior was a missionary, Thomas Michael Wilson. He is the son of Willie and Julia Wilson, Route 2, Box 12, Lafayette, Alabama. Elder Wilson completed his earthly mission on the 13th of January, 1990. When he was but a teenager and he and his family were not yet members of the church, he was stricken with cancer, followed by painful radiation therapy, and then blessed remission. This illness caused his family to realize that not only is life precious, but that it can also be short. The family began to look to religion to help them through this time of tribulation. Subsequently, they were introduced to the church and baptized. After accepting the gospel, young Brother Wilson yearned for the opportunity of being a missionary. A mission call came to him to serve in the Utah Salt Lake City Mission. What a privilege to represent the family and the Lord as a missionary. Elder Wilson's missionary companions described his faith as like that of a child, unquestioning, undeviating, unyielding. He was an example to all. After 11 months, illness returned. Bone cancer now required the amputation of his arm and shoulder, yet he persisted in his missionary labors. Elder Wilson's courage and consuming desire to remain on his mission so touched his non-member father that he investigated the teachings of the church and also became a member. An anonymous caller called to my attention Elder Wilson's plight. She said she didn't want to leave her name and indicated she never before called a general authority. However, she said, You don't often meet someone of the caliber of Elder Wilson. I learned that an investigator whom Elder Wilson had taught was baptized at the baptistry on Temple Square, but then wanted to be confirmed by Elder Wilson, whom she respected so much. She, with a few others, journeyed to Elder Wilson's bedside in the hospital. Then, with his remaining hand resting upon her head, Elder Wilson confirmed her a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Elder Wilson continued month after month his precious but painful service as a missionary. Blessings were given, prayers were offered. The spirit of his fellow missionaries soared, their hearts were full, they lived closer to God. Elder Wilson's physical condition deteriorated. The end drew near. He was to return home. He asked to serve but one additional month. What a month this was! Like a child trusting implicitly its parents, Elder Wilson put his trust in God. He, whom Thomas Michael Wilson silently trusted, opened the windows of heaven and abundantly blessed him. His parents, Willie and Julia Wilson, and his brother Tony, came to Salt Lake City to help their son and brother home to Alabama. However, there was yet a prayed-for, a yearned-for blessing to be bestowed. the family invited me to come with them to the Jordan River, Utah Temple, where those sacred ordinances which bind families for eternity as well as for time were performed. I said goodbye to the Wilson family. I can see Elder Wilson yet as he thanked me for being with him and his loved ones. He said, "It doesn't matter what happens to us in this life as long as we have the gospel of Jesus Christ and live it." What courage, what confidence, what love. The Wilson family made the long trek home to Lafayette, where Elder Thomas Michael Wilson slipped from here to eternity. President Kevin K. Meadows, Elder Wilson's branch president, presided at the funeral service. The words of his subsequent letter to me I share with you. On the day of the funeral, I took the family aside and expressed to them, "President Monson, the sentiments you sent to me." I reminded them of what Elder Wilson had told you that day in the temple, that it did not matter whether he taught the gospel on this or the other side of the veil, so long as he could teach the gospel. I gave to them the inspiration you provided from the writings of President Joseph F. Smith, that Elder Wilson had completed his earthly mission, and that he, as all faithful elders of this dispensation, when they depart from mortal life, continue their labors in the preaching of the gospel of repentance and redemption through the sacrifice of the only begotten Son of God among those who are in darkness and under the bondage of sin in the great world of the spirits of the dead. Doctrine and Covenants, section 138, verse 57. The Spirit bore record that this was the case. Elder Thomas Michael Wilson was buried with his missionary name tag in place. When Elder Wilson's mother and father visited that rural cemetery and placed flowers of remembrance on the grave of their son, I feel certain they remember the day he was born, the pride they felt, and the genuine joy that was theirs. This tiny child became a mighty man who later brought to them the opportunity to achieve celestial glory. Perhaps on these pilgrimages, when emotions are close to the surface and tears cannot be restrained, they thank God for their missionary son, who never lost the faith of a child, and then ponder deep within their hearts the Master's words, "And a little child shall lead them." Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. Peace is their blessing. It will be our blessing also if we remember and follow the Prince of Peace. Ideas for Home Teachers. Preparation. After studying this message, prayerfully choose one or two statements or stories from President Monson that you feel will most benefit those you teach. Then think of a teaching method or activity for each statement or story that is appropriate for the ages and circumstances of family members. A few examples of how this may be done are provided below. Suggestions for teaching. 1. Relate a personal experience of how children have blessed your life, or how you have been able to bless the lives of children. Invite family members to do the same. Read aloud the story of Tyler and the many ways President Monson said people are blessing the lives of children. Discuss ways family members can bless the lives of children that are closest to them. 2. Read together and discuss the meaning of the following: Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, Mark chapter 10, verses 14 through 16, 3 Nephi chapter 17, verses 21 through 24, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9. As you read together the story of Elder Wilson, ask family members to point out what Elder Wilson did to become a leader in his family. What can the children in a family do to help lead their families in righteousness? Gospel topics: children, Jesus Christ, service, child abuse. End of the First Presidency Message, "A Little Child Shall Lead Them," by President Thomas S. Monson, First Counselor in the First Presidency.